The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Fill her up.
You're listening to the Gas Digital Network.
Conceive, believe, achieve. Shut the f*** up.
You're listening to Believe You Me with Michael the Count Bisbing.
Know my name yet?
And Anthony Lionheart Smith.
God, son. Have you ever, Anthony, looked at Harrington and just thought, wow, that man is a savage?
Yeah, I have. You know, I've looked at Harrington. And I've thought to myself, he has evolved just above an ape.
Yeah.
He's the evolution that's between monkeys and me and you. He's stuck right in the middle.
He's the missing link.
Yeah. Without he's Harrington, missing link. We wouldn't be humans.
That's it. That's it. That's you know, my be. Wife is part Neanderthal. She did one of those 23andMe.
I want to do those, but I'm afraid of what I'll find out.
Well, yeah, because you might get busted for being a rapist or something.
Jesus.
No, but that's how they caught the Golden State Killer. Did you know that?
Yeah,
that's how they caught him, yeah, with his fucking DNA.
No,
you know
I
what
never
I mean?
Killed anybody or raped anybody.
Well, I don't know. We'll do a 23andMe.
I'm afraid that, like, I don't know, my parents weren't really my parents, and I'm like the missing kidnapped child of some couple in Rhode Island or something.
I'm just saying, the fact that you refuse to do a 23andMe, Anthony, it's kind of sketchy. There's a lot of unsolved rapes out there. Do you know what I mean? There's a lot of crime, a lot of creepy dudes. You know, yeah.
I'm going to admit it here. I'm a window peeper.
This is the shit we talk about before we start the show. Welcome to the show, everybody. Hope you all had a good weekend. Killer jacket, bro.
Dude, it's my robe. I like a good robe.
Pull over. Killer boots, man. What movie?
I don't know.
Harrington O'Brien? Come on, it's a classic.
I'm ringing a bell.
They're driving down in a car. They're drinking bottles of beer, but he needs a pee. They filled the bottles of beer with the urine because they don't want to stop. The cop sees them drinking. He's got beers in his hand. He thinks they're drinking. He says, pull over.
Is that Dumb and Dumber?
It's Dumb and Dumber.
Yeah. That's what I thought
initially. Bruce, man. anyway.
Get the hell out of here.
Yeah, exactly, when he drinks it. Tic-tac, sir. Anyway, I guess we just got to start with the massive, massive news at the weekend. I mean, yeah. I did not see this coming. 2 years ago, if you'd have said Sean Strickland was going to be the middleweight champion of the world, I don't think many people would have believed that, but fair play to that man. He went out there, he made it look easy. He kind of, well, I mean, he went on the verbal attack to Adesanya, trying to embarrass him all week. But in the octagon, that was purely one-sided, 49-46 across the board. The judges got it absolutely spot on. Israel Adesanya never really showed up. I thought it was pretty honest of Sean afterwards. He said, I felt like Izzy wasn't even really trying. I think he was trying, but the reality is Sean just was the better man on the night. Give me your thoughts, Mr. Smith.
I thought Sean could keep it interesting and could keep the fight closer than I think a lot of people were saying. And I was walking down that path when we were talking about it, and I let you talk me out of it. It's my fault.
It's your fault that I didn't support
Sean Strickland. That's what I'm getting at.
It's my fault you never picked your American brother. Let the limey red coat. You let me talk you out of it.
I did. Because
you are so full of shit.
I'm telling you, go, Brian. You better back me up here, because I said I thought that with his weird style and him and in his awkward ability to not take, you know, clean shots a lot, that I thought that he could make it interesting. I thought he was going to be harder to hit than maybe Adesanya had planned on, and that he does a decent job of dealing with leg kicks. And then you said, no, I don't know. I think that I started thinking about how accurate Adesanya is, and it got flashback to the knockouts of Robert Whittaker and Paulo Costa. And I kept having that Yoel Romero kind of fight that kept flashing back in my head as well. Like, if you don't react to his feints, or you, or you don't, I don't know. You just give him a certain look. Sometimes he is a little bit stuck in the mud, and, but then, you know, he's such a dynamic striker, and there was no takedown threat for Sean Strickland. So I thought that that was going to be a problem. I think once he got hurt in that first round and got dropped, I don't think anybody believed that Sean Strickland had the power to set Israel Adesanya down.
Yeah. Well,
I love this.
Yeah.
Like this meme where they're just adding in this whole America versus, you know, the Chinaman thing. It's really funny. But at the end of the day, Sean Strickland hurt him early. And I think Eugene Bearman said it best in the post-fight press conference that he made Adesanya hesitant. And I think when Israel is reacting on his instincts and he's just reacting to what he's seeing in front of him and he goes, I think he's dangerous. But if he's overthinking things and in his own head, I think that that's what you get. I think that Strickland pressing forward, reacting to everything Adesanya does with a counter, I think gave him some problems. I think his inability to really get going in the kicking game. I've long said Israel Adesanya's whole entire game is based on his ability to manage the distance with leg kicks. And he wasn't able to do that versus Sean Strickland. He cut off the cage really well. He really got his jab going, even though he had a significant reach disadvantage. I thought he was magical, but I don't think that he did anything that he's never done before. It was straight punches, ones and twos, an awkward front kick to manage his own distance. He defends strikes really awkwardly and weird. I mean, he just kind of did what he always has done.
And he never showed up either. And that's not to take away from Strickland, because what Strickland did, the way that he was moving, the way that he was cutting him off, you know, I think Izzy was under the impression that he was going to have a magical moment like he did against Pereira, like he does, you know, some of the times, you know, and catch him with a big shot, you know, and he was just waiting for that moment. And I think, listen, he was just being too cool for school. On the flip side, Strickland was brilliant. You know, he was pressuring enough to where he was keeping him, he was backing Israel Adesanya up, but he wasn't in range to get caught. Counted everything perfectly, checked the leg kicks, landed some great shots in that first round when he dropped him. I thought it was done. And I think that gave Izzy flashbacks to the Pereira fight, which wasn't that long ago. And then I think from then, I mean, that really knocked his confidence. Is that all of a sudden you're like, shit, this guy can knock me out, because that was that close away from being finished in the very, very first round. And pardon me, for Sean Strickland's sake, I'm glad it wasn't. I'm glad it wasn't, because then what happened was a systematic beating over five rounds. Because if it was the first round stoppage, people would say, well, he just got caught. Mm-hmm. Well, he didn't get caught. He beat him fair and square over five rounds. Izzy won round two. He rebounded pretty well, but it wasn't by a long shot. It was still a close round. But I think if we're being fair, we give Izzy round two. But number one, you don't win a fight going backwards the entire time. He was going backwards, going side to side. He was never being the aggressor. I mean, that gives the other side octagon control, which is kind of an outdated way of scoring fights. But even still, to the layperson, if one guy's going back the whole time, you know, and looking for counter shots, the problem is Sean's looking for counters as well. You know, it wasn't a good game plan from Izzy. And Sean on the other side, it wasn't necessarily a good game plan. It's just how he fights. That's how he fights every
time. That's just how he fights everybody.
There was no secret. There was no recipe. You know, there was no like, oh, never seen this before. That's how Sean fights. And Izzy didn't have an answer for it. Plain and simple.
Yeah. I don't know what their game plan was. And I'm not going to tell them whether it's good or bad or whatever, but whatever it was, couldn't have been to circle the edge of the octagon. Yeah. If Sean Strickland is moving forward like that, he's going to outstrike most guys. You got to find a way to stop his forward pressure. Guys like Pereira do it with power. But again, I'm not knocking Izzy here, but he's not the guy that's going to hit you and you're going to block the punch and think, oh God, I'm glad that didn't get through. He's accurate. He's well-timed. He hits you in the middle of stepping. He's accurate enough to hit you right on the off button, but He's not the Alex Pereira type of striker where it's just pure power and he just horsepowers his way through shit. So it's not enough to back you off. The leg kicks aren't enough to make you take a step backwards. They they accumulate over time, but one in itself is not enough to make you take a step backwards and be very, very cautious. Sean didn't, and you get Sean in there with a dominant wrestler or where there's a takedown threat, and you're going to slow his forward pressure down a little bit because he has to be cognizant of that. But Izzy's not that guy.
He's really not that guy. I mean, recent history, when he knocked out Alex Pereira, and of course, there's that big knockout against Robert Whittaker where he essentially knocked him out twice at the end of the first round and then the start of the second. But prior to that, Jared Cannonier decision, Whittaker decision, Vittori decision, Blachowicz a lost decision, Paulo Costa, but that was back, well, it was 3 years ago, Romero decision, Gastelum decision, Anderson Silva decision. Do you know what I mean? I think maybe knocking out Pereira the way that he did against the fence, maybe even gave himself a false sense of illusion that, you know, that he could do that again, that he could knock out him by backing up against the fence, letting him come forward and then boom, catching him with a big shot. But A, he wasn't quick enough. Sean's defense was on point. He saw everything coming and it was a really fantastic night for Sean Strickland. He didn't even have a scratch on him by the end of it. And I will say this as well. And again, I'm not trying to knock Izzy. And if he sees this, you know, I've got to call it like I see it. But it seemed to me, listen, Izzy's a cool guy, right? You know, he's got swagger. You know what I mean? Sometimes you got to forget about that. You know what I mean? Like when he got caught with that shot in round one, there should be a little bit of a sense of urgency in that corner. The corner of Sean Strickland, Eric Nixick and co, they did a fantastic job throughout it. They were keeping him motivated. They were asking for takedowns and stuff. But you could feel the energy and the direction and the drive and the passion in the corner. On Izzy's side, it was flat. It was monotone. There was no energy. He just got caught and Izzy just seemed like... there was an air of arrogance, if I'm honest.
Right.
If I'm honest, even though he'd just been almost finished, he was like, oh, over the top. Okay. All right. Whatever. No big deal. It's like, bro, you almost just lost. You almost just got knocked out in the first round.
Right.
We need to address this. We need to talk about this.
He so calmly said, I just can't find my jab. What? Fucking find another way.
Yeah.
Find another way. That should have been the answer. Not like, oh, well, okay. What, you know, like, you're right. They were very calm. And again, I try not to
nonchalant.
Very nonchalant. I try not to criticize corners because they know their fighter way better than we do. But
right.
It did seem like when he, just in that one moment when he said, I'm having a hard time finding the jab or something along those lines, that would have been my response. Well, find another way. Then go to the front kick. Start using, like, find something else. If that's not working, don't spend 25 minutes trying to find something that isn't there. You've tried for 15 minutes up to this point to land a solid jab and you haven't been able to. So stop trying and move on to the next thing. On the flip side, I thought Eric Nixick dealt with Sean about as perfectly as you can. A bunch of quick information and then get out of his head. Mm-hmm. Like I thought it was really cool where he, what did he say? He said, in the second round, he called him a snake charming. He said, don't let him snake charm you. He's just being a snake charmer right now. You're getting stuck watching him. And that was kind of what I was seeing in that second round where Sean was a little bit like lackadaisical and just watching Izzy do nothing. And like, there was a lot happening, but he didn't. It looked like there was a lot, but there wasn't anything happening. It was a lot of movements and stance switches and head movements and feints, but he wasn't doing anything. He was just maybe he was trying to recover from being hurt at the end of that first round. But I thought that was a brilliant answer. And some coaches may have said that in a more tactical way to a different fighter, but like it was very short and to the point. And I'm sure that Sean knew exactly what he meant. Like, okay, we got to get back to work.
Mm. No, for sure. I mean, listen, Eugene Behrman's a very good coach. The proof is in the pudding, clearly. So, and as you said it perfectly. They know their fighters better than anybody else. So, you know, but it was a shitty night at the office. One way, whatever way you call it, whatever you want to say, and potentially that was because of the brilliance of Strickland. Maybe it was the trash talk getting in there as well and pissing him off, and maybe it did make him emotional. Because I tell you what, like I did a live on Saturday. And then all people were talking about, it seems like Sean did a really good job of turning the fans off, is it? Do you know what I mean? All the support was massive.
The cheering,
the dog stuff. Do you know what I mean?
He was still mad. They'd gone through a 25-minute fight And the first thing Izzy says to him after the decision is read is he's still mad about the dog. He's still mad about the dog thing. That was what they talked about in the middle of the octagon.
Yeah, yeah, because Strickland, the post-fight presser, said that was fucking weird. He came up, he said something about his dog or whatever. Hey, you got to be happy for somebody like Sean Strickland, what he's been through. You know, he came on the podcast a while ago. Were you on here when Strickland came on?
I wasn't, no.
Threatened to kill Harrington.
No, good.
Harrington, just jump on. What did he say when he threatened to kill you?
No, he said he wished he would have run into me when I was homeless because then it would have been a free kill. He could have killed me and not even felt bad. It would be like getting rid of the gum on the sidewalk, just eliminating me from society. And honestly, fair point.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I think you're coming through your computer, by the way, not that beautiful microphone in front of you. You got to, you know, and he's had a tough childhood. You know, he opened up a little bit about that. He saw some terrible stuff growing up. He had the motorcycle accident, you know, and then he moves up a weight class. And now here he is, champion of the world, just took out Israel Adesanya. You got to celebrate that. You got to be happy for that. I mean, talk about the underdog. People love to root for the underdog. I mean, Sean Strickland went out there, shocked the world, proved himself right. And it's an incredible story. The question is now, go on.
Oh, I was going to ask you, before we move on too far, what did you think of, I didn't necessarily have a problem with it, but what did you think of Izzy not doing the post-fight press conference and having his coach do it?
All right, again, not trying to kick a man while he's down, but I feel like there's a way of minimizing the embarrassment and... All right, let me just cut to the chase. I feel like you should do that. If you win, you got to go up there. Of course, you celebrate your moment. If you lose, certainly as a champion, you got to take to the microphone and address and say what went wrong and be man enough to say congratulations to my opponent, which I know Izzy did say that. To not stick around, there's a lot of people that support him. You know, you got to take the good with the bad, the rough with the smooth. I'll never forget when Dominic Cruz, when he got outclassed, I'll say, with respect to Dom, against Cody Garbrandt. He came and fucking held court, spoke to the press and was honest. And he got so much people respected him. Same with Conor McGregor, I think, after he lost to Dustin Poirier. You know, people like to see that. And I think he would have done himself a lot of favors had he have done that. Now, I understand. Listen, he's a longtime champ. He's not used to losing. Do you know what I mean? So he had to deal with his emotions. But I think it would have been good PR for him to stick around and answer a few questions.
Yeah, I agree. I understand why he didn't want to. It's just a lot. It's a lot to process.
Sucks.
And I mean, shit, he's been telling the whole world that he's going to smoke Sean Strickland and the dude's not on his level. And then he gets kind of, you know, he gets shut out for the most part. And then you got to sit there and answer for that. That sucks. I mean, I did it after I lost to John.
We all do it.
Yeah, I had to sit there and anytime they've asked me on a loss, I've always done the post fight press conference. And inside your heart just breaks because that's not the conversation that you want to be having when you sit up there. You envisioned it so many times in your head, sitting up there, you know, as the champion or with a W. And so I get it. None of us want to do it. I wish he would have, because I wanted to hear from him. Like,
I'm sure a lot of people did. I mean, according to Eugene Behrman, he wants to go again. He'll fight him tomorrow. He'll fight him next week. He'll go again. And that's the real question. That's where I was going to go. Because when I did a little post review on my YouTube channel straight away, before Dana had gone to the post-fight presser, because Dana said it makes sense. And in my mind, I was like, far be it from me to disagree with Dana. But in my mind, I thought, well, he's lost two out of his last three now, if you're just being factual. And I would love to see the division kind of move on. But, you know, as I did a video for who should he fight next, I started like going through the cases of Jared Cannonier, because he has a claim, right? Because he was the backup fighter. He was the last person to beat him. He was there. That's working for Colby Covington. He was the backup fighter for Leon versus Kamaru. So he gets the shot. So he's got a case there. Obviously, Dricus du Plessis is the number one contender. So he's got a case. But when you think about it, for Sean Strickland, the very, very best thing might be the immediate rematch with Israel Adesanya. Because all those other fights I just mentioned are tough fights, right? Sean's in this for the money. He talks about that all the time, which is also very refreshing as well. You know what I mean? Who was the martial artist to test myself? No, fuck that. We all want to get paid. Mm-hmm. Izzy's the biggest star. There'll be a big storyline, a big narrative going into that one. From what I saw there, unless Izzy does something to completely reinvent the wheel, I can't see a much, much different result. You know what I mean? Now, you never know because every fight is different. I always say that. But for Izzy, sorry, pardon me, for Sean, he has the opportunity to say, okay, fuck you, I'll do you again. Get paid a shit ton of money because he'll be on pay-per-view points. Mm-hmm. Become a millionaire overnight. And then finally, once and for all, close the book on Israel Adesanya and then move on to the rest of the division.
If I'm looking at this from, and again, I'm a... Dana does whatever the fuck he wants. It doesn't matter.
Oh, no, of course.
What we say.
He's not going to listen to us.
He's not listening to us. if I'm Sean Strickland, though, and if I'm looking at this, because I'm a Sean Strickland fan, if I'm looking at this as a fan of Sean and I want the best for him, 100%, I would want the rematch. Like you said, he knows he can beat him. If you follow the
template?
The wit of
guideline,
yeah, like the guidelines of Teddy Atlas. He'll tell you that champions get 30% better after they get the title.
Never heard that one before.
Never, not even once.
No one's been saying that.
Yeah, so I do think that it elevates it because he went in there and did that to him, unsure if he could win. He said in the post fight press conference, is like, I thought I'd be leaving here with a concussion. It was shocked at how easy it was. Mm. So, you know, now with the confidence. That he can win and he can win over a long period of time and he's kind of been in the fire, I think that's only going to make him better. And yes. I'm not sure if Israel Adesanya can beat Sean Strickland. Not with those two styles versus each other. Of course, Izzy could catch him and hurt him and put him, of course. I'm not saying there's no chance he can win. I'm just saying chances are it goes very similar the second time. So if I'm Sean, and if he loses, then he gets, then now you're in a rubber match situation, so he can try again. So you may get three paychecks out of Israel Adesanya.
And I'll say this as well, you know, I think, and I don't want to speak out of turn, but I think I'm correct. Anytime the UFC go overseas, it does affect a little bit the pay-per-view buys. So they would do the rematch more than likely on American soil, mm-hmm. right? In Las Vegas at the T-Mobile Arena. It'd be a massive fight because it's a big narrative. Izzy almost got knocked out. He lost the belt. He's coming back. That could put, and you stick a solid undercard on, that's a massive payday. Sean could earn millions of dollars out of that. Do you know what I mean?
Right.
And then from the reason he got into this sport was to do that. And he still can't believe where he is now, the monies that he's earning. Now he's going to get pay-per-view points. Now, don't get me wrong. Dricus would be great. And who mm-hmm. else? The Jared Cannonier. They ain't going to come or bring that same kind of monetary value.
No.
And Sean knows he can beat him. And as you say, his confidence will be even bigger, mm-hmm. increased. You know, he's going to come into this one.
Well, maybe he never gets the Israel fight too. Like if he passes, if they don't do the Israel fight right now and he fights, just say it's Duplessis.
Yep.
Maybe Israel has to go and fight somebody else. And yeah. What does he get? The winner of Costa and Khamzat? Like you can't really just count Khamzat as a win. If you know, like I think we all probably think that Khamzat's going to beat Paulo. I would love to see Paulo win and just kind of shake it all up. Not that I have anything against Khamzat. I think that would just
shit on the Khamzat hype train.
No, just to shake it up because I think everyone's expecting.
I'm joking.
Yeah, everyone's.
What's your problem with Khamzat?
I have no problem. I think
that's
he's great.
My friend Anthony.
I think he's fantastic, but
he's not my friend. I'm joking.
I was like, I think he's great, and I think that he rolls through Paulo. I would just like to see Paulo do well because I think he's had a little bit of a, like not just in the media, but just in general, it seems like he's had kind of a rough run. I do think that Khamzat wins. So like, does Israel just, I mean, can we just count that as an automatic win? I don't think so. I don't think so at all.
And the interesting thing is stylistically, I mean, Khamzat could be a nightmare for anybody with that wrestling. Anybody. We've got Bo Nickel. There's Duplessis. There's a lot of new contenders that have emerged recently, you know?
I guess my point is if he doesn't fight Israel Adesanya right away, he may never get the chance again.
Mm. And you never know. You never know. Listen, I don't want to say it was a bad night for Izzy because it takes away from Strickland, but he didn't look good, right? He didn't. Mm-hmm. He didn't.
And maybe that was Strickland, but maybe
no.
Wasn't.
For sure, a lot of it was to do with Strickland. But the question I'm asking is, you know, are we starting to see the decline? Is that the end of the easy era, right? Could he bring it back? If he beats Sean, as you say, then there'll be a trilogy. More than likely, that would be the fair thing part of me to do. And then once you lose the belt, and once you start losing, and you got history of losing, and you've lost two out of your last three now, and then three out of four, all those other guys are really good. Do you know what I mean? And by the way, Izzy was so impressive the way that he rebounded against Pereira. And I had so much respect for him. Do you know what I mean? So you got to remember that that's what he was capable of. He got finished in round five, came back, finished him in round two against the guy that was the bogeyman. So we got to give Izzy the props. But Saturday night was all Sean Strickland. And we could slice it up a million ways. The reality is, fair play to him. But I think for Sean, the best thing is to do the rematch. What would be your choice? And we'll go around the table.
Yeah, well, I want to dig a little deeper into what you just said. Well, I would choose Izzy just because I would like to see it again. And I think if Sean can go in there and get another win, I think that just validates him. You know what I mean? Mm. I think that validates him. You can't say it's a bad night at the office two nights in a row. So
no.
I think you're a great person to ask. When you're a champion and you've been crazy successful and you've made a lot of money, and obviously the Pereira fight's easy to get motivated for because he's beaten you so many times and you got to get that one back. So it's not, the money's not a motivator anymore. It's your legacy. It's your relationship with this other man that's, you know, haunted you. After you've been doing it for a while and you've made a shit ton of money and life is really good, and you're, you know, as Connor would say, or whoever, you're laying in silk sheets, does it get harder in fourth rounds when you know you're probably going to lose a decision? Is there a moment where maybe some of these guys are just like, fuck it? Like,
well, I mean, more than likely, I don't know. I'm not a good person to ask. I never earned that kind of money. I had a very, very good career. I earned very well. You know, I had a couple of very big paydays, but
Once you got the title and you got like, you've worked your whole career.
No, but I wasn't like, I think Izzy makes somewhere around the $5-6 million range. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. You're having five, six fights like that. You're talking $40 million. All right, there's taxes and stuff, but you know, gross. You're talking nearly $40 million in your bank account. Shit's changing. Shit's changed. Do you know what I mean? And the reality is you're doing it now, you're fighting for pride, your reasons have changed, now you're doing it for ego and you're doing it to keep the ball rolling, but those motivators are nowhere near as strong. It's like we talk about McGregor, it's the
like
same
Duplessis thing. It's almost like he created that, like he needed that in his head to give him a reason to not stay in it, but like it's that additional motivation, like I don't like this guy, I hate this guy. And that's the because like I didn't see the same. You know, I've seen the people questioning my own motivations and my own, do I have that dog in me still? And I think my opinion has been, it's just been circumstance, and I've just been victim of circumstance in my own career, some of it my own doing. But I didn't see the same.
Do you have that dog in you?
Oh, I got it.
No, I'm sorry. The dog jokes were flying around inside.
Oh, fuck.
Not the size of the fight in the dog.
It's the dog in the
it's
dog.
It's the size of the fighter in the dog. Yeah. it was like there was so much shit going on in the live. I was like, I gotta stop this. Fucking,
oh, right.
I'm gonna get fired. Fucking hell, poor Izzy. Because Sean did a really good job of convincing everyone that Izzy's out there fiddling dog. Before you all start, I've seen the video. He just played with it for a little second because he thought it was funny. But whatever. Anyways, let's move on.
I didn't see that same fire like that he had like the Gastelum fight. You know, like there's that famous video where he's like standing there and they're getting ready to start the fifth round and like, I'm willing to die for this. I didn't see that in the Strickland fight. And maybe that just goes to prove that it was just an off night. I don't know.
So Izzy versus Sean Strickland again, then? That's what we're saying.
I think so.
And I'm not saying that, everybody, by the way, because Dana said that before they start company man. I'm telling you right now, from a managerial aspect, that's the best thing for Sean. He's got the momentum. He's already beaten him. He knows he can do it. He's going to be more confident. He shuts the door on Izzy altogether. He gets a gigantic payday. He'll make several million dollars. He'll be the bona fide, undisputed. He's defended the belt. And then he can move on to the rest of the division.
Two out of the three possibilities are he's already fought. He's already fought Israel Adesanya. He's already fought Jared Cannonier. He believes he won the Cannonier fight. And to be honest with you, I do too.
Yeah, it was real close.
Duplessis is I don't know. He's not as big of a draw
as
Adesanya. He's a bigger problem in terms of his diversity of his attacks.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't like you don't know what you don't know. So like you're looking at the Duplessis matchup, like, well, he's a wrestler or he can wrestle. He's dangerous on top. Look what he did to Whitaker. Or I could fight the guy I'm going to make a shit ton of money to that I already beat. So you can rematch Cannonier for a quarter of the money or rematch Adesanya.
Well, it's just smart business sense. The UFC won it. So you say, all right, fuck it. I'll do it. I'll roll with the punches. I'll give you what you want. I'll fight the guy again. I'll prove the world not wrong because he's got a lot of support, but I'll prove that I'm the better man. I'll make all that money. I'll shut everyone up. I'll show the rest of the division. Those are the contenders that couldn't beat him. I'll show you all it wasn't a fluke and I'll beat him twice in a row. What a message that would be to all the other contenders as well. Sure. And you know what, with Duplessis does have a well-rounded attack. You know, he will hit some takedowns. He's got some judo throws and things like that. You know, that would be a fight where we could see Sean's jiu-jitsu on display.
Right.
You know what I mean? So there's some fun matchups down the line, but I'd like to see the door be closed. Not for Izzy, for Sean's sake.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think that's the best thing for him.
Agreed.
I think we've talked enough about that. Should we, before we get on to the tie two of ours? So, Harrington, you were going to jump on there. You were going to say something.
No, you guys are moving on. Go ahead.
We value this.
Let me soapbox for 1 second for Dricus Duplessis.
Dricus is my boy. I love Dricus. He's cool as fuck, but go on.
You can put together a highlight reel. Right, that shows what Dricus does really well and what Sean does really well, and that will look like a more interesting fight on paper to the fans than Sean Strickland. Coming into this card, all everybody was talking about is, you know, is this really an $85 card? Now we've just seen it. It was a one-side drubbing for Sean Strickland. I don't know that the Izzy rematch sells as well. I think Izzy's star has been tarnished, especially with what Sean Strickland did to him. He got Australia cheering for the American.
No. You're incorrect. Just because there's a vocal minority. There's a vocal minority. They're all talking about the dog stuff and all the rest of it. When you're talking worldwide attraction, Israel Adesanya has been the middleweight champion for a number of years, putting on spectacular fights, and he's a proven pay-per-view draw, right? Just because, and I do think the storyline makes it more interesting, you know what I mean? Because look at what he did with Pereira. So I think it makes it more compelling. And I think Dricus Duplessis is an incredible fighter, but he's yet to break out. He's the number one contender, beating Robert Whittaker, I think, took him to the next level. You know what I mean? But until Israel Adesanya beating Izzy, that would have been his passport to becoming a superstar like Sean is now. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Do you disagree, Anthony?
No, I think it's just a numbers game. It's a math game. Like, of course the fight is going to look more compelling and interesting because they do have, you know, it's a different matchup that we haven't seen before. Duplessis has got a fun highlight reel that you can play, but really the people that are going to be buying it are going to be the Duplessis fans. So if there's 10 of those and there's 100 million Izzy fans, even if they believe the fight would be more interesting, they're going to tune in to watch Izzy. There's just more of them.
Yeah. Correctamundo. Thanks, Hamilton, for just making
Harrington,
us
repeat math ourselves. Is not mathing.
We just repeated ourselves for the last 5 minutes, but it's fine. Don't worry about it. All right, let's talk about FitBod. If you work out, if your workouts have plateaued, if you've run out of inspiration, if you're sick of doing the same old thing, then maybe you need to think about signing up to FitBod. FitBod is a smart workout app which creates custom dynamic exercise programs based for you and your goals, your experience, the equipment. So whether or not you have a field, a garage, a massive, massive gym, they will give you a fantastic workout specified to your actual needs. The algorithm uses data and analytics to scientifically build your best workout and so you can maximize your results. You can see your muscle usage, recovery, achievements, and your workouts all right there in the app, and you are in control with workouts designed just for you, so you get exactly what you needed. And the best part is, for less than the cost of one session with a personal trainer, you can now get a full year of personalized workouts with FitBod. And the best thing is, the app works on iOS and Android devices, but more importantly, there is over 1,400 high definition videos, so they will teach you the exact method, the form, everything that you need. You're not going to injure yourself. You're going to know what you're doing. Basically, it's a personal trainer on your phone, and it's going to create a workout routine that is suited to your exact needs. You want to lose weight, you want to bulk up, you want to get more flexible, whatever it is, Fitbod has a variety of workouts and will tailor it all specifically to your needs. And of course, check out the offer. Right, get 25% off your subscription or try the app out for free when you sign up to fitbod.me/believe. Ridiculous offer. As I say, try it out for free at fitbod.me/believe. Try it out for free, or you can get 25% off your subscription when you go to, last time, fitbod.me/believe. Harrington, throw us a non-MMA, please, sir.
Jump back on. sorry to just show my butt there. Let's see here. How about the massive earthquake that hit Morocco? Now my brain is absolutely blank. Oh, Manel Kep, if I'm not mistaken, was he not fighting? There was somebody on the card.
You were talking about the Morocco.
You sound like Dylan Danis in that interview.
Oh my
the
God.
Clips from Logan Paul.
That clip where Logan Paul just <went. laughs> Oh, that's brilliant. That's funny. Right. Get to the fucking, give us the non-MMA version. What is the story, please? What are you doing?
It was Nasrat Haqparast. That was it. He was fighting with a heavy heart for the 8 on the Richter scale earthquake that rocked Morocco. 2,100 have perished. Brian, I think I put a video in there of you can see when the earthquake starts, people start running and buildings start going down. Just terrible devastation in Morocco over the weekend.
Terrible devastation. Let's have a look at this. I mean... Is that going to fall?
Oh, no.
Oh, my God.
That's terrible.
Yeah, over 2,100 people dead. I'm sure that number's going to increase significantly. I saw in the news this morning, actually, they were pointing at one town over there, a small little gathering, shall we say, maybe a town's a bit of a stretch. They're like, yeah, everyone's dead. Everyone's dead in that. That took out the entire town. Just fucking unbelievable. Have you ever been in an earthquake, Anthony? I'm a thought with the people from Morocco, by the way, of course.
Yeah, for sure. That's terrible. One time. Actually, I was in a restaurant with me, my wife, Stipe, his wife, Weidman, his wife, and then like a handful of other people in Vegas while Rashad was doing his
Hall of Fame.
His Hall of Fame speech. So we were all in Vegas, and I'd never been I've never felt an earthquake or anything. And the chandelier starts swinging back and forth above the table. And Weidman, not to make a joke of a terrible thing that happened in Morocco, but I've never seen
Weidman shit his pants.
A more scared human. He just got up and ran away, left his wife, didn't even say he was leaving. Stipe didn't even look up from his phone. Like he was playing some nerd game on his phone. Didn't even
cold
look
as
up.
Ice.
Yeah, cold as ice. Didn't even flinch. Like it was no big deal. And I just continued drinking. So Weidman though was such a pansy. He just took off running. And his wife was like, "Where the fuck are you going?" He was, "I'm out of here."
It's funny that you you bring that up because I got inducted to the Hall of Fame that same night. Mm-hmm. And I used that. I just improvised like my speech. Because when you do the Hall of Fame, they write you a script out and they have it there on a teleprompter in front of you. And I walked out and I thought, I'm not reading a robotic fucking script. You know what I mean? Hello, everyone. Nice to see you all here. So thank you. Do you know what? I'm like, I speak from the heart. And I walked out and I said, how am I supposed to follow this? I said, Diego Sanchez comes out and isn't crazy at all. I said something, I had a few jokes. I said, Rashad gets his own personal fucking earthquake. You know what I mean? And everyone all laughed because as Rashad was on there doing it. Yeah. And it was quite a strong one. Yeah, man. Yeah. It must be terrifying though. If to be in a building and it all starts crumbling down like that. Jesus Christ. Well, that's a bit depressing, Harrington. Thank you very much. We get little tremors here in California quite a lot, but I've never had anything significant. I mean, we've seen the light fittings shake a little bit, but they said the big one's going to come one day.
It's scary. I don't like it. I'll just deal with the tornadoes out here.
a lot of tornadoes, though, and the hurricanes, more hurricanes on the way.
Yeah, well, we don't have to worry about hurricanes, but lots of tornadoes.
What's have you ever had damage to property or anything from something like that?
Oh, yeah. One time I was leaving my aunt's house in Kansas, driving home, and me and my mom were like driving down this highway. I wasn't even old enough to drive. But there was this huge field next to us and this tornado just hauling ass across the field. Like
a twister.
Yeah. Yeah. And like, I was crossing. Yeah. Like ended up crossing the highway, like in front of us. So we had to stop, turn around in the ditch and then go the other way. And like, tornadoes are wild. They're wild.
Yeah.
And then I was in one of my uncle's farm one time. And it sucked like half of the water out of the pool. Like it was a huge pool and sucked half the water out of the pool and ripped the fence down and tore the shingles off the roof. Did quite a bit of damage.
It's insane, isn't it? So how many of them have you seen, would you say, growing up in that part of the world throughout your life?
When we were in high school, we used to, when there was tornado warnings, if we like got word that one had touched down somewhere, we would go out. God, we're fucking idiots. This is how Midwest kids are. We would jump in a car. Grab a bunch of beer and go chase it down out on gravel roads and stuff. Hundreds.
Hundreds. Jesus Christ. Yeah, that's hundreds. Wild. That's wild. Yeah. Like growing up in England, we don't get things like that. And I used to see them on TV and think, wow, they're incredible. And they call them storm chasers. I think there's a TV program, isn't there? Where they go after the tornadoes, you crazy bastards.
You can always tell when you start getting close. You start hitting the hail, like starts with the rain and then it starts hailing. That's how you can tell you're getting close.
I'm trying to think of the most extreme.
I would kill my kids right now if I found out they ever did that, though.
Oh, like, for sure.
Back on it, we're such idiots.
But the stuff that I did, if my kids, if they were doing anything like that, I would lose my mind. You know what I mean? Let's talk about Taito Uvasa and Alexander Volkov. I think for anybody that's a fan of Taito Uvasa, which I think is most people, right? Mm-hmm. He's just so likable. He shows up. He brings it. Every single time, win or lose. Saturday night was no different. He brought it. He put it on a show. He got quite a thorough beatdown, to be honest. Came in throwing those heavy, heavy low kicks from the start, but he was kind of telegraphing them. And Volkov just had an answer for most things, to be honest. The straight shots were fantastic. The uppercuts were beautiful. He checked a lot of the kicks. Yeah, sure, Ty was busting up that lead leg quite a lot, but he was also hitting the canvas multiple times. I thought Ty looked improved in the grappling side of things. You know, he used a nice underhook to get back to his feet a couple of times. He survived for quite a while in the mount before Volkov switched to the Ezekiel choke. But I mean, listen, that's 3-0, 3 in a row now for Volkov. He looked better and better. I mean, that was a vicious beatdown. Ty is tough as fuck. I think other people would have been taken out of there sooner.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that part. I'm going to tiptoe a little bit here, but I just need to be honest about what I've seen. Ty looked heavier than I've seen him in a long time. And coupling that with what I heard during his walk, I didn't have a good feeling about it. Ty's been traveling for his training camps to
Dubai,
and he's looked really good when he's done that. He's had some ups and downs, and he struggled a little bit, but he's been in there with some really tough guys. But I think overall, he's had a really good showing when he's done that. When I heard on his walk, I think it was Anik said that he decided to stick to his roots and do his entire training camp in Australia. That made me very nervous. Like, you're about to have one of the tougher fights you're going to run into because of the style matchup and the body type matchup. I don't know why you would change what you were doing and do it at home when you were, there's a reason you started to go to Dubai to do your training camps. So why change it when you're about to have one of the tougher fights of your career? And then when he walked, he just looked heavier. And I don't know if that has anything to do with training camp or he just looked bigger.
I thought he looked heavy. I like Ty. He's a friend. He's a great guy.
I love Ty. I love him. This is nothing personal.
Interactions. Yeah. But just calling it how I saw it, I felt, you know, because Ty's one of those guys. He shows up, he fucking has a row, he'll swing, and he lives by the sword, die by the sword, whatever cliches you want to use. And that's why we love him. And he's got the personality and the walkout music and the shoeies and everything, right? He's fun. He's fun, you know. And he's never been a ripped athlete. He hasn't been the kind of guy that's going to be on the front cover of Muscle and Fitness magazine, do you know what I mean? With a six-pack and all the rest of it. Oh, I have fucking six small meals a day and my protein shakes. It's like, nah, fuck that. I'm going to drink some fucking beers. I'll knock the motherfucker out and we'll go have some fun. And everybody loves that side of him. So he's always been a little bit chunky. I thought this time he looked even more chunky with less muscle. Do you know what I mean? I don't want to use the term skinny fat, but he looked a little bit extra on the skinny fat side.
Well, he talked about when he was going to Dubai that he had to get away from home because of the things that home includes. That's partying, that's friends, that's drinking, that's eating whatever the fuck you want, that's making your schedule work around what's comfortable for you, that's distraction. It's part of the same reason that I go away. And that's why Factor X works. It's not that I'm not that I party a whole bunch. I mean, I sit around the house, but
fucked up there, Anthony.
I'm not clubbing, you know what I mean? But it's when you're away, you're forced to just focus on what the hell you're doing. And it's just you and fighting, and that's it. And it's a focus thing. Mm-hmm. So that made me nervous. Less about the training. I'm sure he gets fantastic training. I'm sure he has great training partners in Australia. But then when he made the walk, and I'm like, that lifestyle that he was avoiding by going to Dubai seems like it may have shown its face in his body. And I think all that translates into a fight and confidence. And I always feel more confident by going to Factor X because I know that I put the work in and I made the sacrifice and I left no stone unturned.
Well, that's always the way.
I can't say that I would be able to feel like that at home.
That's always the way. As long as you know you've done everything you can, that's where the true confidence comes from. Mm-hmm. And that's with anything in life, not just fighting. If you know that you've prepared, you've done everything you can, well then shit, what will be. Do you know what I mean? You're like, you can't guarantee you're going to win. I always say when you're a professional fighter, you're going to show up on weight, right? That's one of your obligations, and in shape. To go five rounds or three rounds at a good pace. Nothing else. You can't control everything else, but you can show up on weight and in shape. Other than that, if you're not doing that, then you're not really a professional. You're fucking up. But the fight, you can't guarantee. But if you show up and you're confident in your cardio, you've done everything, you've pushed yourself, you know, to the limit, then fuck it. You can't guarantee the outcome.
Right.
You know, you do have to get away. I mean, we don't know. Maybe exercise some discipline, but he didn't look, you know. And by the way, you can't judge a book by its cover. Can't judge a book by its cover.
Look at Mark Hunt. look at Roy Nelson. Those guys can fight for a long time.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Who's some other fatties that did well? Come on. There's got to be a few more. There's some big old boys.
There's some big old boys in heavyweight division.
Mike Harrington. Mike Harrington,
he's 1-0.
Unbelievable boxing career. Undefeated. Knockout power for days. Undefeated.
Three-time Skankfest champion.
Here we go.
Jesus Christ. The voice of God is back. Yeah, anyway. So well done to Volkov. Yeah. Well done to Volkov.
Well, you know, and on the flip side of that, Volkov has talked a lot about his weightlifting, trying to become a larger heavyweight, trying to be stronger because he's felt like because of his length and his leverage and his height that he has been overpowered in some of those clinch and grappling situations. So Ty came in, looked a little fluffier than maybe we've seen him in the past, did his training camp at home. I hope that his camp was great and he has no regrets and it just he lost to the better man on the night. I hope that's the case. But then Volkov comes in, heavier probably than I've ever seen him, but like a good heavy. He looks strong. He looked fast. His movement was still there. He seems like he's really worked on his grappling game because that looked pretty good too. They just seem like they're in two different places right now.
Yeah, yeah. No, I agree. And it's sad to say because we all like Ty.
Yeah, yeah. How can you? I love that guy. I wanted to see a shoot in Australia so bad.
Oh, man. Volkov, I don't really know Volkov. He's kind of a stoic Russian. You know, he's kind of the embodiment of that, you know. Doesn't talk much, you know. Doesn't say much. Drago looks fucking terrifying. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's all, that was always going to be a bad matchup because Volkov is tall, long, karate stylist, good striking, takes it seriously. You know, it, again, it just shows, and I'm not kissing Tom Aspinall's ass. It just shows how good Tom is. Look at the way Tom Aspinall just breezed through him like it was nothing. All right, let's talk about Chalk.com. That is C-H-O-Q.com. And Chalk, they offer the new, newest, the bestest, the most naturalist. There's not real words, by the way. But they do offer the best natural testosterone booster available on the market. And look, listen, number one, it works, right? If you're, if you haven't got the energy, if you're not quite the man you used to be, if you're not making the gains, you're not losing weight, you're not quite the sexual tyrannosaurus that you used to be, then maybe your testosterone needs a little boost. The reality is, as you're getting older, it's dropping every single day. Simple as that. If you're in your 30s, your 40s, your 50s, if you're in your 50s, you know what I'm talking about. The 30s, it's on the decline. The 40s, hey, come on, we all need a little boost. And Chalk is the way to do it. And along with Chalk Daily, be sure to check out the Male Vitality Stack and the Stack Ultra. By the way, listen, Chalk products, they're fantastic, okay? Most supplements are filled with nonsense, but Chalk are proud to stand above the rest in clean, pure, and healthy products. So right now, get the boost that you need. Go to chalk.com, C-H-O-Q.com. Use the code Bisping at checkout for 35% off your order. Chalk.com, promo code Bisping for 35% off. Should we talk about... should we do Manel Kapp versus...
Can we do his post-fight interview? Him and that other dude? Jesus Christ. Radke, the hard F word was just
dropping the hard F. Yeah, Dana's in the post-fight presser. He's like, yeah, that was flying around here a little bit tonight. Oh, shit. Listen, people just get caught up in the moment. You know what I mean?
Well, then you hear it one time. And then it's like...
It's in there.
Yeah. Like, Chael Sonnen is notorious for, like, if we're on the desk. There was, like, a natural disaster somewhere when we were getting ready to go on and do, like, a pre-show in Vegas one time. And Glenn comes up and says, whatever you do, we're going to be... Let's be sympathetic to the people that are suffering from this. It was a tornado, I think, went through, like, Arkansas. Like, don't say the storm is... Don't say the storm is coming. Don't say, you know, anything like that along a storm, right?
Yeah, but well, of course, in your head.
Now you've heard it.
I know.
Every time we're trying to record this thing, it was probably like two or three times in a row, Chael was like, and then a storm isn't coming. So it's like
he's going to weather the storm in the first round. Cut.
Hard stop. So I think Manel probably heard that guy say it, and then it was in his head, you know, and it just flew out of his mouth.
I saw Jake Shields on Twitter this morning, and he posts some wild shit. He's a good follow. He's a good follow. He posted something. Apparently, you know, was it him? Oh, no. It was Jake. And then Aaron Bronstetter, you know, that is the Canadian journalist. Yeah. They were saying that apparently...
He does a good job, too.
He's a very, very good journalist. Very good. Very good. It's against the law, and they might be looking at criminal charges or something for using that kind of language in Australia. It's like, come on, get the fuck out of it. Yeah. They're in the moment. They're fired up. I actually don't think, and again, this is not me defending them at all, but I don't think there's even homophobic intentions. Do you know what I mean? It's just...
No, they're just looking to say something mean. I don't even think they're... Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like when we were kids, like growing up, we were super young, we used to throw the term gay around a lot. Like,
exactly.
Or you're gay. Yeah. And like now you'd never say that because you realize how hurtful that is and how many people that offends. But when we were saying it, we weren't meaning.
It had a different meaning.
Nothing to do with people that were there.
Same thing that we're talking about. Sorry to talk over you there. Exact same thing that we're talking about, the exact same word. Growing up, that was relayed or often used as a word for a wimp. Do you know what I mean?
Right.
You know, as was gay. Do you know what I mean? Now, of course, you know, it's offensive. So you remove it from your vocabulary. Sure. But that was never the term. That was never what I meant. You know, growing up, I wasn't surrounded by any, I didn't know any gay people. You know what I mean? I wasn't even saying that. I was saying that you were a wimp.
Right. And that's how we used it. And like you said, it's been removed from our vocabulary. But sometimes, some of these guys, it just, you know, I think it comes out. And if... I don't think that's how they meant it. And I'm sure they feel really bad about it now.
Well, what's his face? Radke apologized. Because right. again, I'm sure that is, I don't know. Is it Charles Radke? What was his name? Was it Charles Radke?
I don't even remember his first name.
Well, yeah, whatever. Yeah. Radke, he had a good show in that.
I only knew his name because of his post fight speech.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know the guy. I don't know him.
Yeah.
I can't speak, but I would guess that's kind of the context in what he meant it. Because he came out, he apologized. Dana even said afterwards, he said he apologized on his own behalf. You know, we didn't even have to go up to him and say, hey, you better apologize. He said backstage to the journalist, he was like, shit. You know, I was caught in the moment. I said that. Yeah, and shit happens. I've done it myself.
Right. Yeah, well, me and you had a post-fight interview one time where I just went off, and you can't even listen to it online anywhere because it's just beep, beep, beep.
Oh, really?
I just went off.
Yeah. No, yeah. We've all been there. But, oh, here's this. Brian, I'm not saying that.
I'm just giving you the actual definition of the slur that was thrown around. It actually means that.
Yeah, no, it does. No, no, a bundle of sticks or twigs bound together as fuel. Exactly. And that's just
been using it as like a. Sorry.
No, sorry. Go. And that is where the term fag for a cigarette in England comes from.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? That's why they say that. Do you know what I mean?
Right.
Americans, because my dad says it, he's a fag. Is there anyone got a fag or whatever? And I remember Perillo and stuff when they came over to England the first time. They thought it was wild. Do you know what I mean? That's what everyone says in England. Do you know what I mean? And there's no homophobic connotation attached to that whatsoever. It's just what they say. Anyway, I'll tell you what, though. Never mind that. Manel Karp was outstanding. He was fantastic. And so was Felipe Dos Santos, because it takes two to tango. That young man, remember that name, Felipe Dos Santos, took the fight on short notice, very, very young, with the same camp of Charles Oliveira, came out throwing flying knees, super aggressive, and it takes two to tango. Manel Karp, some of the movement, some of the counters, some of the shots, and the style. Manel Karp, great win, but he gets the style points as well, man. He was slick. The counters, the shots, spinning elbows, flying knees. That was a true mixed martial art.
He was good on the ground, too, when he got some top position a couple times and looked pretty good there. Didn't seem like he was in any danger. Felipe seemed unknockoutable. You know, that guy would look almost out of there. And then he just, you know, had this Terminator inside of him. He'd just come right back. I will say, though, if you're Kai Car France and that's your next fight or something, you probably feel pretty good about that, especially with Kai being a striker himself. Manel did get hit a lot. He did get hit a lot. You know, he kind of put himself in the fire. Maybe that's because he felt comfortable he could take those shots after feeling them a little bit. But those guys going back and forth, I want to see that fight just because of the hate that they have for each other.
Oh, yeah. It was a pretty good week for Kai Car France. Even though he pulled out the fight, he was still getting so much spotlight because Manel Tompkins kept calling him, giving him shit, you know, and they keep cutting to him and he's going, stick his tongue out. He's like, bro, put the tongue away. Come on.
Easy with all the Haka stuff.
You're not Maori. I know you're from New Zealand. You know what I mean? But right. I don't know. Is he? I don't think he is. He doesn't look Maori to me, but whatever. He's from New Zealand. He's embracing the local culture. Good for him. That's incredible. Great win for him. Felipe Dos Santos, he will be back. And then who else did we have on there? Let me just bring it up right here. Bum. Starting off the night, it was, Tyson Pedro, quick knockout there. Justin Taffer, quick knockout as well. That was a sick fight on the prelim headliner. Carlos Holberg and Daun Jung, well done to those men. So, Harrington, give us a non-MMA story, please. Let's talk about this former NBA player. So, Anthony, I'll just tee you up on this. And be ready with some details in a moment, please, Harrington, when I throw it to you. Do you have a prenup? I don't have a prenup because we were bloody broke. But do you have a prenup? No.
No, but now that I think about it, can you do that after? I'm just kidding.
I mean, you could do if your wife was stupid and gullible.
At the time when we got together, a prenup would have benefited her, not me.
My wife bought a house because she was very lucky. She got some shares for this company she worked at. So it was only a very modest house. You know what I mean? I didn't have a pot to piss in. Didn't even have a driver's license, a car, nothing. Do you know what I mean? I was like, a prenup would have helped me. Harrington. So some NBA player been out there. He had a wedding. Is Harrington even here? He was getting married. He was trying to get this girl to sign the prenup, right? She kept delaying it. What was his name, by the way?
Steven Jackson.
Steven Jackson. Do you know who that is?
No, I don't.
He's one of the hosts of Showtime, has like a very popular NBA podcast, and he's one of the hosts of that. So he's had some time in the media to right. tell this story. He had given her the prenup months beforehand, right? They had agreed she was going to sign it. She delayed signing it. She made it so that a certain priest would have to officiate the wedding, and that priest even got in the act when he said, yo, like, she's not signing the prenup. He said, don't worry, my son, let God handle it. So he responded, God is telling me to have her sign the prenup. And they got to the thing. It was a destination wedding. She refused to sign it. He said, all right, well, then we're not getting married. Dumped her then and there, went to the after party. His friend, and also a former NBA player, Stephon Marbury, was the DJ. First song, Kanye West, Gold Digger.
Oh, yeah. No. Yeah. Left her at the altar. Said, oh, you won't sign the prenup. Left her at the altar. Went to the after party. First on Gold Digger. I mean, I was like, you got to respect this man, if I'm honest.
Well, I think if I would have asked her to, like, because we haven't been married that long. We've been together forever. We haven't been married that long. I think she would have. I feel like if you don't sign it, you're just expecting to be divorced, I think.
So it's a tricky one, isn't it? Do you know what I mean? Because, like, for me, in our house, what's mine is hers. It's all ours. It's a collective part. And if you truly, you know, intend on spending the rest of your life together,
right,
then a prenup shouldn't come into it. But I guess you just, if you haven't known each other too long, or I don't know, if you don't fully trust each other, then maybe a prenup, you know, if you're the successful one, if you're the guy worth millions of dollars, if you're the guy that's sacrificed all your free time when you were a kid practicing throwing a baseball and all the rest of it, and now you've got millions of dollars in the bank, you know what I mean? This girl comes along, you've known her 2 minutes, and you're like, okay, I do, I like you, I'll marry you, but let's sign a prenup, because
you leave what you're
having, you running away with half my fucking money.
Right. You got to leave. If that's the situation, you probably should leave the relationship with what you came to it with. But like your situation, you and Rebecca kind of built that together.
Yeah.
And that's how it is with me and Michaela. Like, we had nothing.
But if she won't sign the prenup, what does that say on the flip side? That's why it's an interesting talking point, because does that say then, well, then she doesn't really love him? She was only doing it for the money. Or does it say that the guy says that he doesn't have faith in her? Who's right? Who's wrong here? You know what I mean? Because if she truly loved him, then she should say, I don't give a fuck. I'll sign the prenup. I just want to marry you. I want to spend the rest of my life with you.
Right. You would. That would be the argument, right? If you're him, that's the argument. If you're him, because now she left with nothing anyways.
But she would say, well, why are you making me sign a prenup? We're going to be a team.
Well, when you're the only one to lose, when you're the only one with shit to lose.
Exactly. I can only imagine walking in, telling all the boys, left at the altar. Fuck her. Put Gold Digger on. Oh, shit.
Yeah, I mean, like, if you build an empire with a fuckload of money in it, there's gonna be lots of women there. It's probably a pretty good way of making sure.
Well,
you're not running into a gold digger and someone that's looking at this marriage and relationship as an investment and not a real relationship.
See, that's the thing as well. Hamilton, just Google his net worth. It probably isn't accurate. And I don't know the guy because I don't really follow basketball, but it might be on there. But these NBA players get paid a tremendous amount of money depending on how big a star they are. But I don't know. He's probably got a lot of money saved up, you know, investments and contracts and things like that. And it does attract a certain type of woman, you know? So to a certain degree, I don't blame this guy.
Sorry.
It's quite all right. Marsh Bates.
No, sorry. Some random person just walked in my house. Made me nervous because
you were looking at the ring.
Yeah, it just popped up and some dude walked in my house. I was like, who the fuck is that? He rang the doorbell first. And my wife let him in. It's Sancho. He comes over every once in a while.
Sancho.
Keeps her happy.
Harrington,
So they're saying his net worth is $20 million online, but I'm seeing a career earnings of $70 million.
Just from his NBA thing.
Yeah. If you've got $70 million and you haven't been together too long, then you need to get a prenup. Simple as that. What?
Yeah, you need that. That seems only fair. How are you going to get married, stick around with this chick for like a year, and then she's going to leave and take $30 million? No way. That's how people get killed. Not a chance.
People with big bar shit. Careful what you say, Anthony.
That's how you end up with these Forensic Files TV shows. That's the kind of shit that makes those kind of TV. I don't do it. I'm just saying that's how it happens.
Do you have life insurance?
Yeah.
Do you have life insurance on Michaela?
Of course. About quadruple what she has on me.
I need to get some life insurance.
It's actually not that expensive. It's pretty easy.
No, I know it's not. Yeah. I know it's not. I just haven't got around to doing it. Yeah, I need to do that.
Especially
always look at the husband.
Always look at the husband.
Yeah. And Rebecca said publicly on a live, she thinks she could get away with murdering me.
Probably women are way smarter.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And of course, because, you know, given our backgrounds, he's a violent psychopath. Yeah.
I had to shoot him.
I had no choice but to bury this huge knife into his heart. He was attacking me.
Right.
And they would believe 100%. Whereas if she turns up dead and I'm trying to pretend it was self-defense,
there's just no way. You're not going to get away with that at all.
Not going to get away with that at all. All right. Today's episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. BetterHelp offers online professional counseling done at your convenience. You know, listen, the reality is, you know, you haven't got to jump in the car, drive to the other side of town. You can get matched with a licensed professional therapist very, very quickly. If you're not vibing, you're not gelling with your therapist, you can switch it up at no cost. And this really is the most convenient way to do therapy. And you know, if you're not taking charge of your mental health, maybe now is the time to start. More than likely, you're going through something. You know, we all are these days. You know, the world is a tough place to live. And whatever problems you're going through, speaking to a professional will certainly help, whether that's an addiction issue, drug abuse, alcohol abuse. You know, we all need to do better in that regard. But, you know, anxiety, temper, you know, who knows what it is? Who knows what problems it is that you're having? Maybe you're depressed, you know, speaking to somebody and just hashing it out and then trying to give you another perspective. Speaking to a professional will always help. And BetterHelp, as I say, is an extremely convenient way. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient. It's flexible and suited to your routine. You just fill out a brief questionnaire and you get licensed with a professional therapist. So right now, let therapy be your map with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/believe to get 10% off your first month. That is betterhelp.com/believe. Anyway, let's move on. Harrington, give us a bit of mixed martial arts news, something to break down, something to discuss. And once again, congratulations, Sean Strickland, shocking the world. What have we got, Harrington?
So we were talking about possible opponents for Sean Strickland earlier. Another guy threw his hat in the ring, actually called out two different champions over the weekend. One, Conor McGregor. A fan said this is his chance at 185. He said, yeah, that'd be a nice crack. I'll go up for that. He also mentioned Volkanovski. He said it's crazy that he's the pound-for-pound number one, and he would look forward to cementing the featherweight GOAT argument with a win over Volkanovski.
Your thoughts on today?
Well, he's never making 145.
Never in a million years
he's making 145, so I think that's out the window, because even if you fought at 155 and you beat him at 155, it doesn't cement your legacy as the greatest of all time at 145 by beating him at 155.
Good point.
And then he's not going to fight at 185.
He's not going to fight at 185. He's far too small just because he's maybe weighing 185,
right?
All bulked up on the good stuff. It doesn't mean you want to fight.
Forget Alex Pereira made 185. Those are the type of size men. I could make 185 if I really had to.
Yeah, for sure. 100% you could. You have done many, many times.
Connor's not fighting at 185.
He's the size of Duplessis,
that guy is huge.
Yeah. Connor's a smaller he fought at 145, for crying out loud.
145. I don't care if it was however many years ago. If you fight at 145, you're going to have a tough time at 185.
called.
That's not me talking shit, Connor. Calm down. Not saying anything about your skill set. Chill out, bro. I know you're about to. Put the Twitter down right now.
The voice notes are great.
I think you're fantastic. You're just a little small for 185.
Without question, that was why I threw it to you, because I'm just always hating on him. Do you know? I'll go ahead and because listen, everyone knows what I'm going to say. He's out of his fucking mind. He's talking shit. He's too small for the division. Yeah. You know, but I'll let you say it this time. Do you know what I mean?
I think the storyline of this show is math, and that math is not mathing. He's just not an 85er, and that's okay. Yeah, math. The math for Strickland's rematch without Asani, the math says we should, for Sean's sake, we should do a rematch without Asani.
3+3.
That's 6.
Whew, you're good to go. Okay.
Got it.
Part of the brain's working. Okay. Yeah, you're going to win this fight now. You got it. You got it. Let's go. Oh, God. Connor just always has to try and insert himself. Do you know what I mean? The reality is.
We're talking about it.
Yeah. Yeah. No, for sure. He's the biggest star in the game. He's the biggest star in the game, and Harrington brought it up. The fight with Michael Chandler.
You can always count on Harrington to hand from Connor's nuts every chance he gets.
The fight with Michael Chandler, that's the one that needs to happen. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? It's funny. Again, we're repeating ourselves, but it must kind of drive Chandler crazy. We keep getting told the fight's going to happen. Maybe it's in December. Maybe it's next year. We're not sure. But Chandler, that's going to be the one. Then every fight that happens, he's calling out whoever just won the main event. He's calling out Strickland. He's saying, I want to fight Volkanovski, UFC 300, which, by the way, I think UFC 300 is going to be like April or May. Mm-hmm. So that's not that far away. The reality is you blink. I mean, this year has flown by. Before you know it, it's going to be Christmas. You know, then once you get through the winter, we're in March, it's Easter. April's just around the corner. You know, UFC 300 isn't that far away. So maybe they're doing Michael Chandler versus Conor McGregor on UFC 300 or Volkanovski versus McGregor, 155 pounds. Mm-hmm. I'm just saying, what would you rather see? Volkanovski and McGregor or McGregor and Chandler? I think Chandler, if I'm honest.
I think Chandler, because I think, we're just trying to get Connor tweeting about us. I think Chandler and McGregor is a more competitive fight. I think that.
You think Volk smokes him?
I think he wins.
Hmm.
I do.
It's interesting, isn't it? Because I'm not trying to do anything. If you go back to prime McGregor, though, when he was on fire, when he was fast as light, look at that McGregor versus Eddie Alvarez, you know, and that's a long time ago. But that version versus Volkanovski, that's an interesting fight. That's an entertaining fight. And I'd probably lean that version on McGregor. That version of McGregor was the best in the UFC back then.
For sure. He was unstoppable back then. But
he's not that guy.
Maybe he still is that guy, and he just hasn't, you know, again, victim of circumstance, injury, time away, you know, who knows all the things he has going on. That guy's probably still in there. We just haven't seen him in a while. But for Michael Chandler's sake, I think it's only fair he's had this carrot dangled in front of his face for a long time now. I think it's only fair we give him that opportunity.
Yeah, no, no.
Not that I have an opportunity to give, but I meant like collectively MMA as a whole.
Yeah. But Chandler deserves it, and it will happen, and it'll be a tremendous fight. And it might be on UFC 300. Who knows? Whatever McGregor's doing with the testing pool, I don't know if he's back in or whatever. I don't know. He's still looking pretty big these days. But Volkanovski has shown his interest in fighting on UFC 300. And Ilya Topuria is out there, and he's been talking a bit of shit, right? Harrington, just give us the quote from Volkanovski, please.
Yes, so his plan is 2 fights in the next 6 cards. He says, you got Ilya Topuria fight, that's always going to be there. You got that rematch that I want against Islam Makhachev. I think that makes a lot of sense. Yeah, for sure. I think it would be great, especially with me getting my hand raised on that one for UFC 300 would be perfect. But again, we will see what we can do. I think it's one of the bigger fights you can make. I truly do believe that. A lot of people want to see that again. It was very, very competitive, and I guarantee you, I get it done next time.
What do you think is a more compelling fight, Topuria or Islam?
probably Islam. Yeah. Don't get me wrong, Topuria's incredible, and it's been a phenomenal rise to number one contender status. It really has, and the way he's beaten people. It was his last win. I know
Josh Emmett.
Josh Emmett, that was beautiful. The way he took out Bryce Mitchell, who was undefeated. Yeah. You know, he's done incredible stuff. The way he beat Jai Herbert after getting flatlined and almost knocked out. Bad.
Yeah, that was nice.
That was impressive. I think
it's an interesting matchup stylistically between him and Volk.
Well, see, that's why I want to see that one again. And I'll be honest, I'm kind of on the bandwagon for another Volkanovski versus Holloway fight soon.
I know. I never thought I'd say that either.
No, I know. I just feel for Max Holloway. Number one, he's just one of the nicest guys. He's an incredible fighter. And then since he lost that third one, he's winning fights. He's beating people.
Yeah, and looking
if you're beating all the number one contenders, eventually you get another shot. And I kind of feel for Volkanovski because he shot him out in the third time. The first two were close. You just never know. But it's got to be Ilia Topuria first. I don't want to hear realistically. I know Islam wants to do it. I know Volk wants to do it. But we saw that fight. It was close. Yeah.
Well, I think now that they got their paychecks, I'm sure they want to do that again. But I think you got to keep 45 going. You got to keep 45 going.
Yeah. And you got to keep 155 going as well. Right. I mean, there's Justin Gaethje out there.
Mm-hmm.
Justin Gaethje. I mean, what was he saying about the BMF? He was talking about Masvidal just recently, saying, I don't think that guy's ever fighting again. I think he was referring to how heavy Masvidal looked. What did he say, Harrington?
I believe the number he gave was 235 for Masvidal. Yes. So, yeah, no interest.
Yeah, I think if Masvidal was 235 pounds, you'd know. There'd be a significant difference there. Talking of Masvidal, his promotion was up at the weekend. Did you watch that by any chance?
No, I haven't got a chance to watch it yet. I am interested in it, though. It's just I hear it's got a different look to it. Obviously, the bare knuckle, you know, part of the contest makes a difference. You know, I think that probably makes for some fun. It's MMA with no gloves. It seems fun.
Yeah, I mean, we've done it essentially. Yeah. You know what I mean? We've all done it, you know, but I don't know. I just want
fighters' organizations to do well. Like, I've always rooted for, like Anthony Pettis has an organization. I always, you know, you're rooting for those guys and their companies to do well. So same with Masvidal. I want his organization to do well.
Without question, I want it to do well. And by all accounts,
Seems like he's doing well, and he's paying those guys pretty decent.
Well, dude, I mean, who did he have last time? It was it Roy Jones Jr.? Was that on Masvidal's card, or am I getting that mixed up?
I don't remember. He's had some big names on his cards, though.
It was Roy Nelson.
Roy Nelson. And then,
he has Alan Belcher.
Yeah.
If he's getting those kind of names, he's got to be paying them well.
He's got to be. I mean, Junior Dos Santos and Fabrizio Verdum, they're both former heavyweight champs.
Right.
That's not cheap. They're going to get.
Oh, I remember he posted on Instagram not that long ago. When they signed JDS, he done a signing bonus. He did a signing bonus, and he was like, the champ wanted it in cash. And it was like a big chunk of cash that he brought.
Who wanted it in cash?
Junior Dos Santos wanted his signing bonus in cash, and Masvidal took it to him in cash. It was a big chunk of money. It was on his Instagram.
Nice. I was, you know, like when I was fighting and you got some bonuses and, you know, when there was a fair bit there, I was like, I want to see that shit in cash. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
We talked about this before. Yeah, used to cash.
I paid in some nice checks without bragging. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. I left school at 16. I'm from a super broke working class family. It's like, I want to go in the bank. I want to see that shit in cash. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? It's like, it's one thing on a check. Yeah, that's great. Can I just make an appointment, please, with the bank to see it? You know what I mean?
It's nice. It feels good, too, when you're, you know, not used to that kind of money. I did the same thing. You're like, I need to cash this check.
I saw a meme or whatever it was, or a video on Instagram recently. It was in Australia, and it was some dude, some like YouTuber or whatever, and he's going around trying to withdraw money from the bank, and he wants like $5,000. And every bank that he goes up to, they want to know why, and they question him why. And he's like, well, what business is it of yours? You didn't ask when I paid the money in. You were happy to take it then, but now I'm trying to take it out. You want to know why? So, and he comes out of all these different reasons. I mean, he must have had a bunch of different bank accounts.
Yeah,
it was different people, and he's like, "Yeah, it's so some summer's coming. You know, I'm gonna buy a lot of steroids. You know, I'm gonna go do this, and then another one like I'm gonna buy some cocaine. I'm gonna go get fucked up. Another
Can
one,
they still give it to him.
Yeah. And then another one, but they're like, oh, they're all embarrassed. Another one's like, yeah, I'm going to get my asshole bleached, 3 shades lighter. It's meant to be unbelievable. And the gay guys really like it. And the woman's like, oh it's okay. It's fine. Oh, dear. Harrington, what have we got, mate? Without looking at the notes here.
Okay, you want to do non-MMA?
Yeah, go on then.
All right, how about this? Scientists, they've invented a 3D printed second thumb that you can attach to the other side of your hand and control it with your big toe. They say it takes just like a couple of hours before, you know, it starts working like second nature. And it is kind of cool, the stuff you can do with it. Think about how much easier it would be to bring in all your groceries in one trip.
Yeah, but hold on a minute. Hold on.
Look at that. Peel the banana like that. Thread a sewing needle with one hand?
I don't see what the need is for that, if I'm honest. Anthony, how do you feel about that?
I suppose if you don't have another hand, that'd probably be useful. Like if you're missing a hand.
Oh, without question. Yeah, if you've got one hand.
Yeah, that'd probably be useful. But if you have both hands, just take a second trip.
Just use two hands.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean,
people that like maybe only have one arm or something, that seems like that would be pretty helpful.
Seems like a lot of brain power. You're going to control that with your toe?
Yeah, I can't figure out. Hand. How does that work with your toe? That doesn't make any sense.
You move your toe and it moves the finger.
Yeah, right? there's a switch that attaches to it. So you
got something attached to your hand and your toe?
Yeah. It's like a lot of work.
That's a lot of work. Listen.
We can do better.
5 fingers. That's all you need, okay? The human race has gone on just fine with 5. These fucking fandangled dickheads out there making new fucking fingers. What's next? 7 toes? Come on. Give it
2 dicks?
Fuck's sake. Well, wait.
That's not a bad idea.
Yo, there's a dude who has 2 dicks.
Oh, stop it.
If you really want, I'll pull up the story. No, I don't know. But I produced another show and it was a story I pulled up for that.
Oh, no, stop it, Brian. Stop it. God, he could make a fortune on OnlyFans.
Oh, yeah, right?
He does.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
God. You subscribe to it, don't you?
God, no.
Okay.
He does.
Was he born with 2 dicks?
Yeah, fully functioning dicks.
Nice.
He bangs chicks with both dicks.
No.
Yeah.
Nice.
He says he ruins chicks for other dudes because they're like, it's so crazy. It was the most insane thing I've ever read.
Oh, yeah, you're going to have to send me that link.
Interested. I'm not interested in seeing that.
No, I don't want to see it. I want to just read the story.
Yeah, don't whatever you want to. Just research purposes, you know.
Just want to look and read the story.
I'm very intrigued about this 6th finger phenomenon, and I just want to hear about this guy with the 2 penises. Yes, you see what kind of difference it's going to make to the world. Oh God, jeez Louise. God, are they big? Are they regular size?
You're curious, don't you? Wish you had the link.
He did a Reddit
on my computer. Thank you very much.
He did a Reddit AMA about 10 years ago, and it's still up.
Go on.
So, I mean, I'm not going to pull up the pictures here. This is a family show.
Don't pull up the pictures.
This is a family show. We can't do that.
Well, it's slightly family. I wouldn't play it to your young children. Oh, my God. What's going on this week, Anthony? Anything fun on the cards?
So I'm just doing some work on my kid's, her razor. So I'm going to work on that tonight while I'm watching football. I'm working the desk this weekend for the UFC.
Nice. Where is that at?
Vegas.
Oh, yeah. Vegas. UFC Noche.
Yeah. Are you all right on that one?
No, I'm not.
Oh, no, it's not at Apex. It's T-Mobile.
Oh, T-Mobile, yeah.
It's a fight night at the T-Mobile, which is pretty cool.
That's a big one.
That is a big one.
No, it's huge, yeah. It's not a pay-per-view. It's crazy that it's a fight night at the T-Mobile, but I think that's great because obviously Alexa Grasso being the champion, you know, right. The Mexicans, they love their fans.
They do. You know
what I mean? And then when Brandon Moreno fought Pantoja, or anytime Moreno fights, remember in Anaheim when Ngannou versus Cyril Garn, and it was Moreno versus Davison Figueiredo.
Figueiredo, yep.
I mean, the crowd, the energy and the passion from the Mexican fans was unbelievable.
Yeah, it's going to be big.
T-Mobile Arena, that place is going to be full. It's going to be crazy.
It's going to be huge.
Not to mention, the UFC planting their flag. This has always been Canelo's weekend, and the UFC kicked him out until later in the month. This is a big deal.
Well, I mean, they're making a big footprint now in martial arts. The Mexicans are doing really well. I mean, we did have Brandon Moreno. He's only just lost his belt. Yeah. Alexi Grasso. Who else is there?
Yair Rodriguez.
Rodriguez, of course.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, good for you.
It'd be fun. What about you?
Noche. And then they've got, what's it called? Kevin Holland versus Jack De La Maddalena.
That's a big one for Jack.
That's a huge fight for both of them. Mm-hmm. I mean, for Kevin Holland, if he can get through Jack De La Maddalena again, it's a big, big win. And for Jack, taking out a big star like Kevin Holland, it only puts him one step forward. What about me? We're a contender series tomorrow, so I've got to do a ton of research for that. And then
you're going to Vegas tomorrow.
I'm going to Vegas tomorrow morning, yeah.
Yeah, nice.
Up and down, all around. So John Jones says that Stipe Miocic is always on my mind. Give us the lowdown, Harrington. Tell us what John Jones has been saying as that fight is getting closer and closer.
It is.
He says, I feel like when you get to a place when you don't feel anything, it's probably when you should hang it up. At this point, I still really get nervous, man. I have nightmares about my opponents. I could be balls deep in some and Stipe will cross my mind.
Weird.
He's always kind of said things like that. He like obsesses over his opponents. Like, I remember seeing an interview long years ago where John said he stalks their Facebook pages and their social media, and like he wants to know everything about them. He obsesses over them.
Well, I mean, some might say that that's a bit overload, overdoing it, but he's the greatest of all time. He's doing something right. I used to watch a lot of tape, and then after a while, I found that to be negative.
Me too.
Yeah. Like when I fought Dan Henderson the first time, when I got flatlined, right? All I did because I coached The Ultimate Fighter, so it was about 9 months from filming that to actually fighting him. All I did for 9 months was watch tape of him, and all I've been doing was watching him flatline people. And then you get in there, next minute you're in an octagon with the guy, and you're like, shit, there's a guy that I've been watching everyone knock the fuck out, and it affects your confidence. Do you know what I mean? It's like, I like to watch them once or twice, see what they're about, and then that's that. I know what they're doing. I don't need to obsess over them.
Yeah, I just need a quick look. Really, just to get an idea of their style. You know, I don't even really break it down. I just watch the fight. Like, oh.
And okay. I don't even need to know their training schedule. I used to do it. I used to, if I saw them on Instagram, but then that would get into my own head. I'd see them training, right, that's it, I got to go for a run. You know what I mean? I got to go harder. But you shouldn't just be confident in what you're doing.
Right.
Because, you know, as we all know on Instagram, we only put forward what we want the world to see. You know what I mean? So you're running sprints on a Saturday morning. You see that, you go, oh my God, this guy's training like a fucking maniac. For all you know, he's been sitting on his ass all week doing nothing.
Yeah. For all you know, he's hungover, laying in bed, posting some video he had saved, ready. He had locked and loaded, ready to send out.
Exactly. Exactly. You going to be at that one? John Jones versus Stipe?
I am.
I will be there as well. Are we going to do some podcasts in person?
Well, I think so.
Oh, I think so too as well. So. Well,
sounds good to me.
And we'll all go hang out at the fights.
There we go. All right. Well, anything else, Harrington?
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
That we need to get to before we go to questions?
Nothing too pressing.
All right. Okay. Well, okay. By now, if you have a question, send it in, please. To bympod@gmail.com.
And if you're listening on Spotify, wherever you find podcasts, make sure you subscribe and leave us a 5-star rating, positive review. Really helps out on those platforms. If you're watching on YouTube, make sure to subscribe to the channel and you hit that notification bell to find out whenever a new video drops. And if you want to catch over 400 episodes you can't find anywhere else, completely ad-free and totally uncensored, head to gasdigital.com. Use the promo code BYM, get a 7-day free trial, and check out over 20 great shows on the network.
I mean, I was just going to say, Hamilton, it says here, give it a 4-shot, Bri. I was just looking in the notes. She said on the MSG card, there's been a few fights added. Roman Dolidze versus Derek Brunson, Steve Ersig versus Matt Schnell, Jared Gordon versus Mark Madsen. So they're all decent fights to have on there. So you could have piggybacked with those. But that just got me thinking. Still no return of Paddy the Baddy. You know, it's been, you know, I mean, I know he had ankle surgery. You know, but I'm wondering who do you think he's going to fight when he comes back?
I don't know.
You think they'll give him a ranked opponent?
I'm not sure. I think like a fight with like a guy like Bobby Green would be good too. Would be good though. Especially if Bobby Green's got a pretty good fight. You got a pretty tough fight coming up, so he gets, you know, one of those guys maybe. What do you think, Harrington?
I mean, I can think of somebody. I mean, Renato Moicano, right? He's at the lower end of the rankings. I understand it's a big step up given
really tough fight.
I'm not denying that, but Moicano has been begging for
Moicano
a money fight.
Wants money.
Money, bro. Give me the money. I love
Moicano. I was fucking drinking beer and eating steak in Brazil.
He's the best.
I love that guy.
Well, we have that guy. We got to get him on again.
Drew Dober just coming off a loss, right?
If
Paddy,
we talked about that fight a little bit too.
Yeah.
It's a good one.
Who did Drew get? Oh, it was Matt Frivola.
Frivola.
The thing is for Paddy, I mean, what's that now? 5 in a row, right? I mean, you know, he's always talked a big game. And other than the Jared fight, he's backed it up, to be fair. Mm-hmm. You know, close fight. We're not here to knock him. But I think at that point now, I mean, at what point does you start giving him ranked opponents? I think 6 fights in with 5 wins, that's probably about the time. So it's going to be interesting because you got to think there'll be an announcement of some sort soon. Anyway, as we said, question time, Brian.
All right, so we got 2 good ones today. This first one is from Mini Pepper.
Well, quick one. If you killed somebody in the Octagon, like Bosch, head kick, blam, dead, literally, fucking don't breathe again, dies, you're going to prison? 2, if a round ends on the ground, why can't it start on the ground in the next round? Bosch, fuck you, Harry.
Bosch, indeed.
Bosch.
Bosh. You know what? 2 good questions that have never been addressed. You know, I kind of like that second one. You know, if the round ends, you're on the floor. Sure, step in, break. But when the fight continues at minute 6, shall we say, you put you back in the same position. That's interesting.
Yeah, that'd be wild.
That'd be insane.
That would be crazy, especially with like real tough grapplers.
Masvidal needs to bring that into his promotion or something like that, because that gives a very, very unique, you know, twist on mixed martial arts. I like that.
Like it starts in the same position that it ended in.
Yeah,
that'd be crazy.
And then it's up to you. It's
right, then you have to figure it out.
Because it does favor the strikers. Every single round you lose position.
Right, so we start every fight on the feet, but every round where you ended.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like that.
I like that a lot. In terms of dying, I mean, listen, we all sign our lives away, essentially. Yeah. You know, have you ever read that there's a little clause, isn't there, in there? Mm-hmm. If you die.
Yeah.
If he dies, dies.
Eh. Yeah.
If he dies, he dies. What's that from?
It's Ivan Drago.
It's Drago, yeah.
If he dies, he dies. No. I remember the first time seeing it. I was like, oh, wild. Just look at that.
Let's hope that doesn't happen. Just not talk about it.
I don't think it will ever happen. I don't think so. I mean, I've just cursed it. Yeah. Simple as that.
Knock on wood.
Yeah. You never know. It might do, but thank you very much. Bosch, there's your answer.
Bosch.
Brian, Bosch.
All right. So we have another question here from Mr. Rupert Caves.
He looks like a Rupert.
Hey, guys. Rupert here from New Zealand, living in Australia now. Just finished watching UFC 293 and Strickland's taken the belt from Israel Adesanya. It was a fucking awesome performance of boxing and pressure and weirdo-ness. My question for you guys is about commentary. Me and my buddies get real pissed off when Rogan and DC go off on tangents and start talking shit on the broadcast while there's good fights going on. Who would be your dream team to commentate with? So, like, you and two others commentating, who would those people be? And also, Mike, where's Rude Boy Mike? We need a little bit of right about now. Thanks,
bruh,
guys.
Bruh, bruh.
Love the podcast.
Pick up yourself. Bruh, 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 bruh. Oh, bro, me, you, John Anik.
That's exactly what I was going to say. Come me on. And you and John Anik, we would kill it. I think DC and Rogan do a great job. So
they do a fantastic job.
They do a great job.
Sometimes, you know, so you might find yourself going down a slight bit of a tangent sometimes, but you got to kind of finish your point. The problem is you start talking about something, maybe there's a lull in the action. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? But then it picks up. You've got to finish your point, otherwise you've just wasted 10 seconds of airtime talking right. about something that you're not going to get to finish. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So it's a difficult
There's more to TV that people don't see. So
yeah,
like,
no, yeah.
If there's lull in the action and you start the conversation, like you said, if you just kill
you
it, like
that,
it's going to sound stupid. It's going to sound stupid.
Yeah.
So you got to at least finish the point and try to work your way back into the fight. Sometimes DC and Rogan, they get along so well. Sometimes they bro out for a minute and then they get back to it and it's whatever. It's entertainment. I love to listen to it.
Speaking of commentary, I got to give a shout out. Laura Sanko did a fantastic job on
her first
pay-per-view at the weekend. So congrats to her. Did a great job. Talking of great jobs. We did a great job. There it is. And the best job was done by Sean Strickland. Went out there, beat the best middleweight mm-hmm. on the planet. Made it look easy. Hasn't got a mark on him. Incredible. Incredible inspirational story. Does that inspire you, Anthony, as well?
It does. It does.
Yeah.
Especially guys being counted out. You know what I mean? When no one thinks you can do it, when technically everyone thinks you're far behind and he goes out there and kind of puts on a masterclass, it's motivating. And
yeah,
made me want to go train.
There you go. There you go. We'll go and bloody train. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll be back on Thursday. Thank you very much.